Today on More to Life, everyone's a critic. Are negative, critical people bringing you down? Are you tired of listening to your own inner critic? Let's help you get a break from all the negativity. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, everyone's a critic. Are you tired of dealing with negative people and critical people in your life? For that matter, are you struggling to overcome your own inner critic? We want to help you get a break from all the negativity in your life. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, you can just be going through your day and then somebody has to say something or make that face or roll their eyes. Or as you said, Greg, sometimes it's just that little inner critic in our own heads that is there to steal our joy, wreck our peace, make us feel like not enough. And it really is such a negative force because it really robs us from being able to hear, feel, and experience the Holy Spirit in our lives. And some people might say, well, Lisa, maybe it's God's way of keeping us humble. No. I firmly know that when God comes along and wants to prompt us to do better, to live more virtuously, He does it in a way that shows us the way to go, shows us how to get from where we are to where He wants us to be, even if that's in virtues like humility. It's a life-giving experience when the Holy Spirit says, maybe you need to not be quite so whatever. Maybe you need to be like this, to be more like me, to be closer to me. That inner critic is not the Holy Spirit. And those critical people, I mean, the Holy Spirit can come in and fix it and use it for your good, but those critical people are not there because God put them there in a way that is loving for you. Again, He can turn it into that. But they're there to tear you down, to make you feel like less, to make you feel less effective in your own life, to keep you from feeling the peace of God, the joy of God. And if you're experiencing that from someone, or you have in your past, and all their words and attitudes are still walking with you in your head and have become part of your inner critic, well, let's break that chain for you today. Let's help you connect with God's grace and come up with some real skills to either handle those negative people in your life or those negative voices in your head. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can get us your questions via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com, the number two. But we love hearing your voice and, more importantly, asking those follow-up questions that let us tailor our responses to your particular circumstances. So if you're listening live, give us a call now, 877-573-7825, and tell us, are you dealing with a critical, negative, or difficult-to-please person in your life? Do you have to interact with someone who's always complaining, rarely has a kind word for you, or seems impossible to please? Or for that matter, as Lisa was talking about just now, maybe you're tired of dealing with your own inner critic, that voice inside your head that's running you down, undermining your confidence, making you question yourself. We want to help you find graceful ways to overcome all the negativity that's impacting your life and stealing your joy. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it can help you overcome the negative people and negativity in your life, well, you've come to the right place. When St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design of creation, and especially our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that whenever we are dealing with another person, even when we feel offended or irritated or frustrated by them, we actually have an obligation to be loving and treat them as a person, not just a problem or a nuisance or a project. And that means that even when we're addressing our complaints to someone, we need to do it in a way that makes it clear that we care about them and are doing our best to work for the good of our relationship. Critical people tend to forget this. They think that their immediate feelings and frustrations and needs or concerns are even more important than the person they are speaking to. The problem isn't that they have concerns or frustrations. It's that they want to thingify us or turn us into an object that they can either shape at our will or just dispose of. They forget we are persons who deserve to be treated with love. They think of us solely as things that were created to make them feel better.
You know, we're called to love those who are cruel to us and unkind to us, but that doesn't mean allowing them to treat us however they want. You know, loving somebody means working for their ultimate good. And it just isn't working for someone's ultimate good to allow them to behave in a cruel, demeaning, or disrespectful manner. It's not just offensive to us. It undermines their dignity. You know, being loving toward critical, negative people means charitably but firmly reminding them to treat us like persons. And when somebody treats us unkindly or critically, even for what they might think are good reasons, the best way to respond is to say something like, you know, I'm so sorry that you're feeling frustrated about thus and such or upset with me about this and that. I'm absolutely willing to discuss this with you and hear whatever it is you have to say. But in order for that conversation to be productive, I'm going to need us to deal with each other respectfully and kindly. Do you think you can do that? Or do we need to come back to this topic at some point in the future? You know, this message lets the person know that you're invested in hearing what they have to say, enough to make sure any discussion bears fruit, but you need them to approach you as a person who deserves to be treated with love, and not just as a means to their ends. And we are taking your calls today about those negative, critical, demanding people who can never be pleased.
Even when that person is you, inside your own head. You know, how many times you get through a day and you look back at it and you think, well, most of the people I dealt with were fairly decent to me all day, except for me. I had this running commentary in my head about all the things I'm doing wrong and how I'm not good enough and I should have done this, that, or the other. And we realize that we're really the ones dragging ourselves down. But we have no idea how to overcome it because we can't just go home and close the door and shut out that person that is dragging us down because we just walked in the door with that person and they live in our heads all the time. Whether it's someone else in your life or, yes, even you that's criticizing you, making negative comments, and making you feel less than you should feel, well, let us help you out with that today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring all the critical people in our lives to you, and we ask you to teach us how to deal with those people who are negative, critical, difficult to please, in charitable ways, in ways that allow us to stand up for our dignity and for theirs, and use those situations as opportunities to bring healing and grace to the relationship. We also ask you to help us to change our relationship with our own inner critic, to help us to hear the voice of your Holy Spirit, encouraging us, calling us on to growth, challenging us to recognize our sins and our brokenness, but in ways that lead to hope and enable us to cooperate with your grace, moving forward to become everything you created us to be. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Everyone's a Critic, as we talk about those negative comments, critical people, people who are so difficult to please and never seem to have a kind word to say, even if that's the critic in your own head, that inner critic that tends to undermine our confidence or cause us to question or doubt ourselves or run us down. We want to help you overcome all the negativity in your life at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Norma, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Norma. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm trying to come up with strategies how to, equalize with my husband, because it just got to the point where he starts criticizing, I just turn around and just let him talk. Because
can you give me an example of what you mean? Where might he criticize you, and what might he say?
Well, it could be things that I do or he assumes I did. Let's say the car has a flat tire. Where did you drive through? I'm like, it's not only me that drives it. Or I make a decision in my business to, you know, I'm going to change this policy or give this day off or whatever. No, he butts in. Or for the kids, you know, they might have had a great game, you know, playing football or basketball, but he has to find pick, you know, and it's just the way that it comes across. I mean, I'm sure he means well and wants constructive criticism, and he realizes it after the fact, like, sorry, you know, like when I don't talk to him a whole day, it's like, hey, well, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But it's just like, how do I target it right at the moment? I'm trying to avoid getting into a fight, so I just turn around, just no.
What? So you don't address it at all in the moment. You just sort of freeze him out the rest of the day, and then eventually he comes around and apologizes.
I have addressed it for years, so I'm just to the point where I'm like, okay, whatever, and I just, you know, turn around and it's.
Well, could you walk me? Could you walk me through the last exchange you had, like a specific? Because it's always easier to generalize from a specific situation than it is to just kind of talk about it vaguely. So, what was the last time this happened, and how did you try to confront it? The last time you tried to confront it directly.
The last time it was, let's say for Labor Day, I was gonna pay the day for my staff. And change our schedule. Like, we usually have only the religious holidays are paid off, and a few other federal holidays, but not all federal holidays. And then he was, no, like, you shouldn't do that. You're going to start that status. And then, you know, what happened in COVID, we couldn't pay payroll. And he had some valid points, but I felt like, well, it's Labor Day. It's about working, and I want to improve, you know, the work morale. And I ended up, you know, just compressing the week and working a four-day week. But I felt like it's impinging on my decision-making at work.
So my question, I guess, is how, the way you described that, it sounded like he was raising valid concerns.
And you even said that some of his points were good ones. So
what about that exchange seemed like he was undermining you or being critical?
Because we're doing good this year. And I just wanted to, you know, make the team feel that, okay, you're being taken into account.
Okay, no, that's fine. But how?
It's a wonderful thing to want to do. We're not negating in any way.
I guess I'm just trying to understand, like, how could he express his opinion or concerns about something that wouldn't feel like a criticism to you?
I guess the words he uses, like, kind of making me, like, no. You know, you're wrong. You shouldn't do this. Or thinking that anything that went wrong, it was something that it was my doing.
All right. Well, Norma, so what I'm going to suggest to you is two things. I think that I want to give you some ways to kind of help him express his opinion a little bit better. But what I'm picking up on you here is that you, like a lot of people, feel that if somebody expresses an opinion that's contrary to their own, that they're being criticized.
Now, if he was expressing that opinion that is contrary to your own, but calling you names, yelling at you, cutting off your sentences, that would come off as criticism and even bullying. But having a difference of opinion and expressing it firmly instead of in a way that a lot of us like to do, including like this going back and forth kind of thing, that can come off as critical to many of us, but isn't necessarily critical. It's more a difference of style and expression.
Yeah, well, or a difference of opinion. I mean, so this happens a lot in marriage sessions that I have in the pastoral counseling practice, CatholicCounselors.com, where, you know, someone will say, well, my wife is always critical, or my husband's always critical, and I'll ask them to give me some examples, and basically what it is their spouse disagrees with them about something. So then I'll say, well, can you give me some examples of how your spouse could communicate their disagreement with you in a way that wouldn't seem critical? And usually I get crickets at that point, because the issue isn't really what they're saying or how they're saying it. It's the fact that they're expressing an opinion at all. And I'm getting a little bit of that sense from you, Norma, so if I apologize if I'm misreading that. But I need you to understand that when somebody offers, you know, input that's different from you or questions a decision, that's not necessarily critical. They're raising valid points. Now, if he is, you know, saying it in a way that seems, you know, hurtful, like Lisa was talking about, then it's okay for you to say, listen, I want to hear what you have to say. But there's just something about the way you're putting that that's making me feel like you think, you know, I'm incompetent, or that you think, you know, you think I'm making the wrong decision, or whatever. Is there some way that you could say that again? In a more respectful way? And at that point, you want to do your best to really try to hear and address what's being said. You know, so for example, let's go back to the situation over Labor Day. You know, you tell your husband, hey, I think I'm going to give my employees some PTO on Labor Day. And he says, well, you know, can we do that? Because like when we were in COVID, we had a hard time meeting payroll, and what's going on? You know, and he says, well, you know, let's look at the budget. You know, let's go through this together so that you can see, you know, what's going on. Again, you're not doing that to get his permission. You're doing that to address his concern and help him walk through your math so that he can see why you made the decision that you made. And as husbands and wives, we're not there to give each other permission to do things, but we do need to clue each other in and let each other kind of see our math so that we can be on the same page about things.
Especially if it affects both of us and our economy and things that are really affecting our lives, both now and possibly in the long run. We have to work together to be on the same page about something.
So as a takeaway, number one, you know, think about how it is that he could express differences of opinion, questions, or concerns about choices that you're making in a way that wouldn't seem like a criticism. And make sure that you're not just saying, I just need him to not say things, right? And if you can think of that, what would that sound like? Then if he says something in a way that's rubbing you the wrong way, then at that point say, I really do want to hear what you have to say about this, and I'm willing to work through this. But is there some way that you could say it a little bit differently? Because there's something about the way you're approaching me that feels a little unkind, or feels a little like you're telling me that I'm an idiot, or whatever it is, right? But you want to give him a chance to be able to express his concerns or questions in a way that seems respectful without just cutting him off. Right? Norma, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. 877-573-7825. Our show is titled Everyone's a Critic. And we are taking your calls about either the critical people in your life, the people that seem impossible to please, the people who rarely have a kind comment for you, or for that matter, your own inner critic. You know, that voice inside of our heads that's always running us down, stealing our joy, robbing our peace, and just making us feel less than. We are here to help you find graceful ways to overcome all the negativity in your life. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup, who is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on dealing with critical people. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Everyone's a Critic, as we talk about both those critical people and your own inner critic running you down. How can you find graceful ways to overcome that negativity? Well, that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She's an expert on the theology of the body. She's here today to talk to us about dealing with our own inner critic. Hey, Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
So what can the theology of the body teach us about dealing with that inner critic?
Well, one of the key things I think about is in the beginning of theology of the body, John Paul II talks about God's original vision, the original good of God's vision and how he saw everything that was good, right? Like we have in Genesis. And so sometimes when I'm dealing with a situation and there's somebody who's being very critical or even my own, again, inner critic, you know, I say, look, you know what? God sees everything. He made me, he made everybody in the world, and he says it's very good. And yes, sin has come along and that is a problem, but he's so much bigger, he can see all of the good. And sometimes I'm like, you know what, if God delights in me and God, you know, can see through my weaknesses and failures and even loves me in a certain sense, you know, even more in those weaknesses and failures, then I'm going to accept his view of my life and who I am and not let these other people's negativity or my own perfectionism and things like that to get the better of me. And then even when I can rest in that and say, you know what, it's okay that I'm not perfect, then my view towards other people is also a lot more accepting and welcoming, and I can see their good as well as my own. And then you're just a happier person, and it's easier to overcome any, you know, weaknesses and failures you do have when you can rest in that joy and that goodness of God.
Well, you know, and it sort of reminds me, you know, that we often talk about belief in God, but we forget that God believes in us. And so when, you know, and even when he sees our failings and our weaknesses, he sees them through eyes that say, let's make something of this. Let's work together to, you know, and I'm giving you the grace to do something more with this, as opposed to it being a spirit of condemnation where we should sit there in our wrongness and be wrong all day. And so even as we confront those weaknesses, we're able to do it in a spirit of hope if we're seeing it through the eyes of God.
Exactly. It's a much better place to be. And just to really know how much God loves us and how he sees us, you know, and so that's what I do. I pray like, okay, Lord, give me your eyes for this person or give me your eyes for me, you know, to actually see me as you see me.
You know, I think this is so important, and I think this is why sometimes we just need to spend some time always in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but sometimes just in front of a crucifix. because that really can drive home to us. And we have, if we just start to feel guilty when we see the suffering of Jesus, we have to know that we have to go beyond that. We have to see the love. We have to see that, as everybody, you know, reminds us, and sometimes we even begin to take it for granted, that if we were the only person in the world, Jesus would have done that for us. That love that's exhibited there for us has to lift us out of all this negative criticism, all of the criticism of the world that's dragging us literally down, and allow ourselves to say, if I'm this loved, what can I do to strive to be the person that Jesus wants me to be, and work in that positive direction, right?
Oh, exactly. That's very powerful. And to know you're loved, that is a game changer. Not just in your head, you know, oh, yes, of course, God loves me, but no, to know in your heart how much he loves me and how much good he sees in me and the person he created me to be.
And as you pointed out, Genesis says when he created us, he pronounced us good. Anastasia, thank you so much for being with us today. Always a pleasure. If folks would like to learn more about your ministry, I encourage them to go to nationalcatholicsingles.com. A great resource, not just for the annual conference, but throughout the year, great support for Catholic singles. That's nationalcatholicsingles.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Are you dealing with a critical, negative, or difficult-to-please person in your life? Do you have to interact with someone who's always complaining, rarely has a kind word to say, or seems impossible to please? Or for that matter, are you tired of dealing with your own inner critic, as Anastasia was just talking about? That voice in your head that's running you down, undermining your confidence, or making you question yourself? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to overcome all the negativity in your life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls in a minute.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It is really important to make time for silence or to listen to peaceful music within that silence if it helps you pray, which it does me. And how interesting that scripture is filled with different reminders about silence. And the natural law shows us that what, once again, Scripture is telling us is absolutely true. For example, according to health experts, silence may help you in several ways, including lowering your blood pressure, improving concentration and focus, calming racing thoughts, and stimulating brain growth. Our Blessed Mother knew this. We see this in Scripture repeatedly, and Mary pondered this in her heart.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What does the Catholic Catechism teach us about the Assumption of the Virgin Mary? The Church professes that she was assumed into heaven, body and soul, honored by her Lord and Son as Queen of all things. By her Assumption, she participates in Christ's resurrection and anticipates the resurrection of other Christians. She is a preeminent and wholly unique member of the Church as a result of her total obedience to the Father's will and her Son's redemptive work. Thus, she is the Church's model of charity and faith. According to the Catechism, Mary's motherhood in the order of grace continues in heaven. What began with her ascent to the Annunciation continued till she stood under the cross and will not cease until the eternal fulfillment of all the elect. She is involved in the Church as advocate, helper, mediatrix, and benefactor. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. We parents are only human, and that's a good thing. But it also means that sometimes we say and do things around our family that we wish we hadn't. When that happens, have you ever considered apologizing to your child or spouse? It doesn't have to be a big deal. You can say something like, you know, I can tell I really hurt you when I yelled at you earlier today. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Some parents worry that apologizing might undermine their authority. But for Christians, true authority isn't about power and control. Rather, it flows from trusting, healthy relationships. Asking forgiveness helps to build that good kind of authority. It shows our kids that our relationship with them is based on love, truth,
and generosity. Most importantly, it shows that God is the ultimate authority in our home. When God rules our lives, we don't need to constantly project some false image of our own perfection. We can admit our mistakes because our identity and worth are rooted in our inherent dignity as God's beloved children, a dignity that doesn't depend on our perfection, but rather on God's limitless love for us. To get more help and resources, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, everyone's a critic. We're talking about the negative, critical people in your life, those folks who seem difficult to please or, you know, never have a kind word. Or, for that matter, your own inner critic that's constantly running you down. We want to help you find graceful ways to overcome all the negativity in your life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joyce, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Hi, Joyce. Welcome to More to Life.
Oh, thank you.
Hello. What can we do for you today?
So I have learned through my career with the public that you never know what someone else is going through. But I find myself, because of past hurts or whatever, that I judge people. When I first meet them, I think that's not just a first impression. I think the Holy Spirit tells me, you're judging, and I know it. Mm. And I'm going, you know, I have no idea if that's truth or not. I guess my question is, when does a first impression become a sin of being judgmental?
This is a great question, Joyce. I love this. And my first knee-jerk reaction to this is based on what I was saying earlier in the show, which is maybe the Holy Spirit's saying that to you, but whether it becomes a sin or not depends on your reaction to the Holy Spirit. So if you go, oh, gee, I did not mean to do that, Lord, I am so sorry, let me get to know this person, let me be extra kind to this person, let me get to inform myself and lean toward a more virtuous response, you're good. You've listened to the Holy Spirit, and you're moving in the direction that God wants you to move in. When you say, oh, well, maybe it's judgmental, but I know what I know, then you're saying, I don't want to move with you, Lord. I don't want to respond to you. What do you think, Greg?
Well, no, absolutely. I think that you know, something becomes a sin whenever it translates into some kind of action. You know, an initial reaction
becomes a choice.
Exactly. An initial impression or impulse, that's something that we need to test. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about we test all thoughts and make them submit to Christ. So, you know, when you experience that initial impression, the best thing to do is to bring it to God and say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm having this reaction. Show me how to respond to this person and to respond to this reaction that I'm having. And we ask God to teach us how to respond to that thing. Instead of beating ourselves up for having the reaction or criticizing ourselves for having that reaction, we bring it to God and we ask Him to teach us how to deal with it. But then, you know, as part of that, you know, we can also ask ourselves, is that reaction pointing to a problem that I need to address with this person? Is this reaction, you know, helping me see some pain either in myself or in them that needs to be addressed in some way?
Is this reaction something that's actually a gift from the Holy Spirit? Because what I'm experiencing is a sense of that person may not be safe, and I need to do something in order to protect myself from that vulnerability. You know, maybe this person is a threat in some way. So that initial reaction, when met with a conversation in your mind and heart with the Holy Spirit, is what guides you into a deeper sense of virtue. If it is indeed a gift from God that is prudence, then it's okay to say, well, I may be perceiving this person as a threat, but I really believe this is a gift from God, and that's not judgmental. That's just me being prudent and trying to stay safe. But if we think we're better than that person, if we're disdaining that person without that sense of prudence, then that's when we say, hey, Lord, help me to really love this person as you would love them.
You know, the sin of judgmentalism isn't really about our initial reaction or questions that we have about them, or even if we say, you know, I'm not sure, you know, that I agree with what they're doing or how they're behaving or any of that. It's about writing people off. you know, when I'm committing
or being disdainful,
you know, when I'm committing the sin of judgmentalism, what I'm doing is I'm saying, you know, this person is beneath me. I don't have to deal with them. I can write them off as broken or as different in some way, and I don't have to deal with them as a person. Right. But if I have a negative reaction to somebody, but it enables me to kind of, but I bring it to God, like I was saying, and then, you know, that enables me to reach out beyond that, and still be kind to that person or still work for their good or address any problems that might be coming up that are triggering that reaction, that's actually a very positive thing. Right. So it's all about whether or not I let that reaction cause me to make the person I'm dealing with less of a person, and excuse myself from having to deal with them because they are less of that person. Joyce, thank you so much for the question. Really, really a good point, and especially in our conversation today about criticism and negativity. You know, when we all experience those negative reactions towards somebody else, you know, how do we know we're not giving into that spirit of judgmentalism? And I think it comes down to what we were just saying. But thank you for the question. Really, really good.
It's a great question. Thoughts. I think it's clarifying for many, many people today.
877-573-7825. Today's show is titled "Everyone's a Critic." Are negative comments from other people bringing you down? Are you dealing with a critical, negative, or difficult-to-please person in your life? Maybe you have to interact with somebody who's always complaining, rarely has a kind word to say, or just seems impossible to please. For that matter, are you tired of dealing with your own inner critic? That voice in your head that's always running you down, undermining your confidence, making you question yourself. We want to help you find graceful ways to overcome that negativity in your life. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we got a question through questions@moretoliferadio.com from Lolly, who says she's listening in Pennsylvania. She said, "My mother-in-law disapproves of me. My husband and I are from the same background, except my parents were raised in the States, as were my siblings and I. My husband was raised in another country, and my mother-in-law didn't meet me until a few weeks before the wedding when she came here for the wedding. She was kind but reserved during that time. Since then, 5 years now, every time she visits, she finds something to criticize me about. My husband seems so sad when this happens, like he's not gained her approval. When she's not here, he seems happy with me and our marriage, and we get along well. How can I handle the 2 or 3 months a year that she visits with us?"
Oh, wow.
And that's Lolly in Pennsylvania. This is not like, hey, she came over on a Saturday night, was mean, and left. This is 2 or 3 months where she's moving in from another country.
So I guess there are two parts to this problem, right? There's the part where you're trying to figure out how to, you know, deal with your mother-in-law's criticism. But then there's, I think, even the more important part where you're trying to figure out, you know, how to deal with the fact that her criticism affects your relationship in some way, and it makes your husband react to you differently.
Well, and it says that he seems so disappointed that he hasn't gotten his mother's approval.
Yeah,
so
I guess
there's
I'm just
a layer
curious if,
here.
Well, I'm curious if that means he's disappointed in her, or if he's disappointed that he hasn't gotten his mother's approval. But you know, either way, we'll let's talk about both of these things. I think, first of all, in dealing with your mother-in-law, it's okay to say, you know, I really appreciate that you have thoughts about this, or you know, but you don't have to win her approval. That's the thing. It's like as adult children, we want our parents' approval, but we don't have to court it. We don't need it.
Now that can be very strange to hear when you come from a culture that says the elder people in your life deserve your deference, and you do get raised in a situation where you feel like their approval is significant throughout your whole life.
Well, and I'll come back to that in a minute, but you know, it's good to be considerate of their opinions, even if they're being critical. It's good to try to take their thoughts into account, but at the end of the day, it's not your job to win their approval, because I'll tell you this, there are some people, and we've talked about this in the show before, whose love language is criticism. Right, they just are critical all the time as a way of keeping you in the relationship. Critical people often know that, you know, the people they criticize work really hard to jump through their hoops and try to win their approval. And so they maintain relationship by never giving approval. And in those situations, you can't get that person's approval. It's impossible. They're setting it up so that they can. That's how they keep you in the relationship. That's their love language, in a sense. And so you're kind of dooming yourself by jumping through those hoops. Now, let me explain the difference between being considerate of your mother-in-law's opinion and versus pursuing her approval. What I would say is, you know, if mom, you know, says something that's critical about parenting or whatever, you know, it's okay to say, you know what, I think that you're raising some good points, and here's how we're addressing that. You know, or you've raised an interesting concern, and this is how we're trying to address that. And you know, you're letting her, or you could say, you know, I hadn't thought about that. I think this is how we'll address that, right? But you're identifying the thought behind the criticism, the insight behind the criticism, and you're responding to that, but you're not engaging in, you know, the argument to defend yourself or to try to convince her to see things your way. You're being matter of fact about it. That takes practice. It's not easy to do. But that's why I wanted to start with that idea that you know, we can listen to each other and be humble appropriately in taking advice or hearing the concern, but we don't have to then twist ourselves into knots to win their approval. Now, you know, with your husband, I think it's important to have some conversations with him about what it means, you know, to get that approval. Of course, again, as children, we all want our parents' approval. We can be 80 years old, and if we have a 100-year-old parent, we can still want their approval. It's important for us to not need it. You know, we need to know that we are good and worthwhile because of our relationship with God, primarily. You know, that's the place where we get our dignity and worth. And anybody else is gravy. So, you know, the question is, you know, what is that wound that he's struggling with that is making him, you know, question his worth or his life choices or whatever it is whenever his mom's around? And is that just the effect of, you know, being raised by a mom whose love language is criticism? You know, I think it's worth looking at that question together.
I think it's also really worth starting to pray about together on a daily basis. You know, really saying, Lord, we want to have a sense of unity with each other and a happy and loving marriage all the time. And we want to make mom happy, make her feel included and cared about, but we don't want her negativity affecting us badly. Show us how to do this. Show us how to stay unified. Show us how to love and take care of each other, even when we're feeling disapproved of in some way.
Yeah, but don't make the focus of the prayer, you know, how can we make mom happy? It's really much more, how can we be confident?
How can we be confident, you know, and take care of each other?
And being the couple that you want us to be. You know, how can we make sure that we are making the decisions that you want us to have? How can we make sure that we are confident in those decisions? And that, you know, that we're being humble enough to accept helpful, constructive criticism or thoughts or concerns from mom or whoever else. But that ultimately we're learning from you and deferring to each other. You know, so by having that kind of couple prayer life where you're making it clear that you're deferring to God first and you're doing what he's asking you to do, that makes it a lot easier to be resistant to criticism from others because, you know, as Saint Jean Vianney once said, you know, who's your audience? I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, are you trying to please people? Then why be a Christian? You know, your audience should be God and the saints and the angels. And, you know, again, that's easy to say. I appreciate that, but it's true. You know, it is true. You know, so if we are praying together as husband and wife, and asking God to inform our decisions and deferring to Him in those things, then when other people criticize us, it's a little easier to take, because we know that the one person we're trying to please is God. And we can be confident in that. So I hope that these suggestions will help. Again, you can still, you know, be considerate, be humble. You recognize the insight or the concern behind the criticism, but you know, ultimately you want to be confident in what God is calling you to, and you can only do that if you're praying together as a couple. Right. Thanks for the question. 877-573-7825 is the number. Our show today is titled "Everyone's a Critic." As we talk about the negative comments from others that bring you down, the times when you feel like you're being undermined, criticized, or just put in a position where, you know, you're always jumping through somebody's hoops to try to get their approval, and it's just not working. Or for that matter, if your own inner critic is running you down, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29.
Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
You know, and this verse does not mean that we can't raise complaints or be aware of concerns or problems in our life. It just means that as we address those problems or concerns, we want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that is upbuilding. In fact, you know, as I mentioned this idea of complaints, the marriage researcher John Gottman talks about the difference between criticisms and complaints. A complaint is where you say, you know, I'm not really happy about this. Let's figure out how we can work better to solve this. Right? So it's not, I'm not attacking you. I'm not blaming you. I'm saying, hey, there's a problem. Let's work on this. Whereas a criticism is, I can't believe you did that. What's wrong with you? Right? It's more personal. It's more antagonistic. It's more focused on you and finding somebody to blame than it is on solving the problem. You know, what St. Paul's talking about here in Ephesians is pretty much that same idea. The idea that when we confront a problem or when we have to address a concern with somebody, let's make sure that we do it in a way that invites help, that invites a solution, that leaves the door open for change, as opposed to looking for someone to blame and run down. 877-573-7825. Today's show, Everyone's a Critic, as we talk about dealing with the critical people in our lives and overcoming our own inner critic. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. When we said cabins are filling fast, we meant it. The 2025 cruise is sold out. But it's the Good News Cruise, not the Bad News Cruise. So the 2026 Good News Cruise is planned and taking orders. There'll be new special and surprise guests and familiar ones from Ave Maria Radio, as well as Father Michael Schmitz and Father Joe Krupp. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Everyone's a Critic, as we talk about dealing with the critical people in our lives and even wrestling with our own inner critic. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to leave behind all that criticism and negativity. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Kathleen. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question or comment for us?
Yes. I want to offer something to the young woman who is having problems with her mother-in-law.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Sometimes those mothers-in-law are just, they don't understand that we're not trying to take their place. And mm-hmm. so I had that with my husband years ago, and his mother was, you know, very competitive, and she was shunning me and that sort of thing. So finally, I just had my husband stand up. She stood on one side, I stood on the other, and I said, I just want to let you know, you get to be his mom. I don't want to be his mom. I want you to be his mom. You make wonderful pies, you're an excellent cook, and I want you to do that. I love him partly because you were such a good mother, but I want to be his wife. I don't want to be his mother. I want you to stay mother. And I said, I want to have sex with him. She kind of started at that. I said, but she needed
to. I bet.
And I said, I love him, and I want the best for him, which is partly you, too. So everything was okay after that.
you just shocked her into silence. Then.
No, but I think you know your point being about clarifying those boundaries and those roles
and the roles that you're playing. You know
the being able to say, you know, look, this is who I am to him, and this is who you are to him, and they're both important roles. Yeah, and I think that can be useful. You know,
I think it can be useful, and I think also coming alongside of, you know, in Lolly's situation, alongside of the mother-in-law who is from another country and saying, you know, please teach me how to make the dishes that your son loves the way you make them in where he was raised. And please show me how to do this so that she knows that she's appreciated for the wisdom and the experience that she has, but then also saying, you know, I'm so glad you're his mom, and I'm so glad I'm his wife. And seeing if it works from there, and then if you have to be a little bit more bold about it the way you were, Kathleen, that's important as well.
You know, I think I want to go back to, as we're coming into the final moments of the program here, just to the idea about, you know, seeking people's approval. And again, you know, St. Chalviani, and I'm paraphrasing here, talks about, you know, who are we trying to, whose approval are we seeking? You know, are we seeking our friends, our neighbors, our relatives? If so, why are we even Christian? You know, he's asking, you know, he reminds us that our audience or the people that we're trying to get approval from should be God, from should be the saints, the angels.
You know, and we think that's so easy to do, perhaps, when we're giving that advice to a teenager. You know, why are you, like, changing who you are for your friends? Just, you know, worry about what God thinks. But even as adults, maybe more so as adults, we forget that it's the same dynamic and we shouldn't be falling for that, looking for the approval of people.
And so, you know, when we are facing a problem or dealing with a critical person or any of those things, the first thing we really need to do is bring that to God and say, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this? You know, how is it that I can respond to this in a way that enables me to be my best self, to cooperate with your grace to be my best self, and challenge the people around me to be their best selves too? As we were sharing in the opening reflection on dealing with critical people, you know, we're called to love others, right? Which means to work for their ultimate good. And when somebody is being unkind or critical or demeaning in some way, it isn't working for their good to not set a boundary there. In fact, you know, sometimes not setting that boundary causes us to create a near occasion of sin for that person, because our presence invites them to be critical and negative and demeaning. And so setting a boundary that either makes it difficult for them to behave that way or even causes us to withdraw from them in some way is maybe the appropriate response to make. But as long as we're motivated by the desire to work for their ultimate good, then we're doing what God's asking us to do. So, you know, recognizing that when we're dealing with critical people, it's important to really root our response to that criticism in prayer and in a desire to please God and to do what he's asking us to do is absolutely important. The second side, the other side of this coin, when we talk about dealing with our own inner critics, I like to, you know, hold on to the verse that talks about how, you know, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who dwell in Christ. That's in Romans. And we Christians often beat up on ourselves, and so that seems like a strange verse, right? Because we're constantly condemning ourselves.
Exactly.
But what St. Paul's talking about there is he reminding us that even when the Holy Spirit convicts us of various sins or failings, he does it in a way that enables us to feel hopeful. You know, to be able to say, okay, you know what, yes, I did this wrong, but you know, God wants to teach me to do this better. He's giving me the grace and the resources and the tools and the support that I need to do better. And so I can confront my failings in a way that makes me feel hopeful and confident of God's grace and mercy. And that's the kind of inner conversation that I want to have. That's the kind of the consolation, so the Holy Spirit, that I want to hear my inner voice saying. And so we need to bring all those inner voices to God to make sure that we're not dwelling in the condemnation that comes from the enemy and not the consolation that comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you would like help in dealing with those critics in your life or your own inner critic, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and let us connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because you know what? With His grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.